Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shabbat Shalom. Please open your Bibles now to the epistle or to the letter of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1 and verses 1 to 10. The Apostle Paul is writing to these brethren and he says to them, and I'm reading from verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the assembly of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, or Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus the Messiah, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that ye were an example to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sound out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, even Yeshua, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And I'm stopping here in the last verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So we begin our study, dear beloved brothers and sisters, of this beautiful letter that Shaul Paul wrote to the brothers and sisters in the city of Thessalonica. I mentioned before that the foundation of this local assembly, local church, local congregation had begun at about the year 50 AD. The Apostle Paul, Shaul, was on his second missionary journey. He finally arrived to this city of Thessalonica, which received its name through the man Cassander, who gave this name to this city because of the fact that his wife was Thessalonica. She was a sister of Alexander the Great, and in 315 BC, he named that city Thessalonica, known today by the name of Saloniki. Many Jewish people live in that city over the years. In fact, there was a congregation, there was a Beit Knesset, a synagogue of the Jewish people in this city. And when Shaul Paul arrived to Thessalonica, he first went to the synagogue of the Jews. And there, some of our own Jewish brethren in the year 50 AD have embraced Jesus, have accepted Yeshua as the Messiah, and many others as well have accepted him as their Lord and Savior from among the Gentiles of the city of Thessalonica. Well, that's how the assembly, the congregation, was formed in Thessalonica. And if you remember, we have talked about the very first three verses in our previous meeting together, how Paul, he said to those brothers and sisters in Thessalonica that they were in God the Father. They were in Yeshua the Messiah, in Jesus the Messiah. In other words, they were believers. They belonged to him. They have embraced him. They have accepted him, as we read in verse 1. Then, secondly, we read in verse 2 that he gave thanks. He says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Apparently, the Apostle Paul, after you remember, he had to flee, to leave Thessalonica because of his own other Jewish brethren who did not accept the gospel. So he left Thessalonica, went to Berea, later on he went to Athens, and then finally have arrived to Corinth in chapter 18. And from there he's writing this letter to the Thessalonians. And this letter, beloved brothers and sisters, shows us that this local assembly, young believers in Yeshua the Messiah, couple of years in the faith, had a desirable condition, spiritual condition. You know, sometimes we go to meetings, to church meeting, to congregation, to an assembly for years and years and years and years, and a time we don't have a desirable spiritual state in our own lives, in our local assemblies or local churches. But here we see a very desirable state that existed in this local assembly at Thessalonica. And Paul said, we are praying for you. We mention your name before God in our prayers. And then you notice what he said, and we covered that already in our meeting before in verse 3. And I want to emphasize this a little bit here. You notice what he said to them in verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your works of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. Now notice those three things, and for a moment, I would like you to just look with me back here for a moment. You will notice that in the letter to the Thessalonians, we find out that the Apostle Paul emphasizes many times the number three. I would like to remind you that when God created man in Genesis chapter 1, if you just go there for a moment with me, you will notice what we read in verses 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Then verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And so you notice that God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. In other words, because we have been created in the image of God, everything in this world is displayed in the manner and way that God is existing. He is a triune God, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, Ha'abba, Ha'ben, Ha'ruach. And that triune God, as we find out, for example, in many passages in Scripture. For example, in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The word therefore, one, echad, is a compound unity. There is one single God who exists and consists in three persons. When Yeshua said to the disciples to go and baptize, litbol, lehatbil, to baptize and to teach the gospel, he said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the, notice, in the name singular, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This triune God, who is existing and consisting in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, this triune God have created man in his very own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them, as we read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and verse 27. Now, if you go back and notice, we find out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, notice that, in verse 23, we find out that man is also a triune creature. You notice that? The Apostle Paul wrote to the same Thessalonian later on, he said, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah." Spirit, soul, and body. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Every time you read in Scripture, everything that God had made in this universe was made in exactly to characterize his person. He's a God who is existing in a triune God, and the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit of God. He created man in his image, and everything here in this world is created in such a way that is suitable for the Creator God. And so notice here, God created the universe, and in the universe we have what is known to be as time, space, and matter. And when we think of time, beloved brothers and sisters, we have past, present, and future. There is no fourth aspect to the time. When you look at the space, we have length and breadth and height. No fourth one. And when we think of the matter, we have solid, liquid, and gas. Everything that is created here in this world is really characterized the God who created the universe. And so when we read in chapter 1 and verse 3 in our previous ministry meeting, we read that Apostle Paul sent to the believers at Thessalonica, he says, "We remember without ceasing your works of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope." And this faith, love, and hope is that which ought to characterize God's people here upon the face of this earth. And that's why we hear oftentimes that those who teach the letter to Thessalonians said that in this letter, we really learn, especially in chapter 1, of the desirable condition that ought to characterize a local assembly of believers. It should characterize us in our personal life. It should characterize us in our family life. And it should characterize us in our local gathering as saints together around the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. That was the condition of those believers in Thessalonica who were very young in the faith. They were not like you and I, who are many years in the faith. Some of us, as we mentioned, are 20, 30, 40, 50 years in the faith. You could see that Apostle Paul here emphasizing their spiritual understanding and spiritual practices that existed in their life. So notice he said to them in verse 3, he says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith." They were laboring in trusting God in their day-by-day life. Then we find out again, "and your labor of love." They were practically working hard at showing what is known to be the agapeo love, the unconditioned love to the brothers and sisters. And thirdly, they had the hope, the patience of hope. They trusted God and the hope of the return of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, and they were going to be with him. They patiently had waited for his coming. Those three words, faith in Hebrew emunah, love in Hebrew ahava, and hope in Hebrew tikva, is something that all of us ought to be characterized with our life here in this world. Faith, hope, and love. And you notice that many, many times the number three is presented before us here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. So God, who is a triune God, created the universe, who is everything here in this universe is characterized him. Time, space, matter. And everything in this world had been ready to be suitable for his creatures who he had made, who have spirit, soul, and body. We have been created in the image and likeness of God. So from here on, beloved brothers and sisters, after he commending the brothers and sisters in the local assembly in Saloniki, in Thessalonica, from verse 4 on, he continued to encourage them and to remind them and himself of the kind of group of believers that they were. In verse 4, he's reminding the Thessalonian brethren that they have been chosen by God. You know, sometimes we don't realize that God, in eternity past, had chosen us in the Messiah, in Christ. We read, in fact, right here, notice what he said in verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. You have been elected by God. Now, some of us might have a problem with election. And of course, as human beings with failing people, we don't quite grasp everything in the plan and the mind of God. But the Bible is very clear when the Bible teaches us that we have been chosen in the Messiah before the foundation of the world. So here we find out that they were chosen, they were elected of God, by God, knowing, beloved brethren, your election of God. Brothers and sisters, listen. You and I also today, who are believers in Yeshua the Messiah, we were chosen in the Messiah already before the foundation of the world, as we read it in Ephesians 1 and verse 4. In fact, if you just turn the page for a moment to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 13, Paul is mentioning this again, and he's saying to them, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because, listen to that, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. In other words, God has chosen the Thessalonians and you and I to become saved, and it has to be done through faith in His Word, in the person of His Son, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we came in. In fact, there are so many verses that we can read. You remember what Yeshua said in John 15 and verse 16? You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have ordained you that you will produce fruit for me. You didn't choose me, but I have chosen you. You know, it is so healthy to understand that we have been chosen by the Lord in eternity past. In fact, we can read in other places that the Lord is teaching the fact that He has chosen. You remember even Israel, the nation, in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, He says, you are a chosen nation. Israel as a nation was not a better nation than the nations of the world, but God had chosen Israel as a nation to be an elect nation that will represent Him here in this world. And so while we do not understand always the truth of election, God's sovereignty, and man's responsibility, nevertheless, the truth of election is being taught in the Word of God. And how clearly he says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Everything began from God, not from man. In fact, if it would be left for us, we were probably going to say, we will not have you reign over us. God, do not have anything to do in my life. I do not want you in my life. This is the human nature. But God, in eternity past, in His plan, as Ephesians 1 teaches us, and as 1 Peter 1 teaches us, and as Colossians 3 teaches us, that we have been chosen, including here, before the foundation of the world, we have been chosen, elected of God Himself. And you know, when we realize that God has chosen us to be part of the family of God, we are really, it should humble us, because we are not superior to anyone else. We are not better than someone else. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nevertheless, in the plan and the purposes of God, God has chosen us in the person of Yeshua, the Messiah. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 6 for a moment. In John chapter 6, if we have a problem with election, John 6 helps us a little bit to understand God's sovereignty on the one hand, and men's responsibility on the other hand. Look at this verse. One verse, John 6, verse 37, always helped me to understand a little bit better God's sovereignty and men's responsibility. Yeshua is speaking, and he said there to his disciples, and he's speaking after he fed the 5,000, and then a little bit later on in verse 37, Yeshua said those words, listen, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. That's the sovereignty of God. On the other hand, the human responsibility, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. God's sovereignty, all that the Father give me, they will come to me. I will receive them. As he says in verse 37, they all will come to me from the Father. I will not cast them out. On the other hand, he says in verse 37b, him that cometh unto me, the one that is responding to the word of God, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. God's sovereignty, man's responsibility. But beloved brothers and sisters, everything began with God, not with man. God created man in his own image. He placed him in this world and he provided for him the space, the time, and the matter. Time, space, and matter is provided for him. Men fall into sin, and men departed from God. So God provided salvation through the person of Yeshua, the Messiah. And now God would like to see men characterized by faith, love, and hope. And as I mentioned before, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we learn that when we're going to be in heaven, we no longer need to have faith because we're going to see him. Secondly, we're no longer going to need to hope for his coming because we're going to be with him. The only thing that will remain for time and eternity is love. That's why 1 Corinthians 13 says in this last verse of this chapter, verse 13, it said, and now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Ahava, as we say this in Hebrew. So apparently, beloved brothers and sisters, these brethren needed to realize afresh that they were elected, they were chosen by God. Therefore, there's no room for pride. There's no room for thinking that one's superior than the other. Therefore, we ought to have a change in our life to produce something for the glory of the Lord. So, the Thessalonian brethren and you and I had been chosen by God. Salvation began by him. Man is benefited from the work that God had provided for us. And so, brothers and sisters, now, in the last part of this chapter, in verses 5 to 10, you could see what an example this local assembly of believers were. And you and I need to emulate the kind of an example that these brethren were. First of all, verses 5 and 6, the Thessalonian believers received the gospel of the grace of God. They received the message. Paul came, you notice it says in verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. You see, when Paul went to preach the gospel in Thessalonica, You remember he went to the synagogue of our own Jewish people, and 3 Shabbat days he went to the synagogue. He opened the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and he presented Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, right from the Old Testament scripture, because there was no Brit Chadasha, there was no New Testament in existence. And as he opened the scripture, and as he presented the Messiah, he must suffer, he must rise, and that Yeshua is the Messiah, they receive the gospel. They receive, as it says here, having received the word, they receive the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the Apostle Paul said, notice in verse 5, he says that the Thessalonians received the word of God. They received it. Verse 5 and 6a. How did he come to them? He didn't come to them with any human opinion. It says here, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, also in the Holy Spirit, and also with much assurance. See, when Shaul, Paul went to preach the message of the gospel, he first of all ministered the word of God as it is found in the scripture. He told people about the fact that God sent the Messiah, and that Yeshua is the Messiah, and he came and he died on the tree, on the cross, for the sin of this world. He presented the word of God. Why do we minister the word of God here every Saturday, every Shabbat? Because we believe that there is power in the word of God. There is power. We trust that the word of God will convict us all and will encourage us to continue to follow the Lord. So it says our gospel came not only in word, but also in power. That word for power is the word in Hebrew is gvura. It comes from the word boldness. When the Apostle Paul presented the gospel, he was bold to share the message. As he mentioned already, and we quoted that before, Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Messiah.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.